You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Adrian Burgess is now the team principal for Team 18 in Repco Supercars, formerly the head of motorsport for supercars. So what's the transition been like, Adrian?
It's been quite good. It's been, I would feel, relatively smooth. I'm obviously come from Teamland, you know, 5 years ago, so I quickly sort of got back into, you know, understanding and remembering what you do and how you approach the events from a team perspective. So yeah, it's been quite nice. It's been refreshing.
What was the specific role as head of motorsport for supercars?
Well, really, you're in charge of two departments. One of those was the operations, so really the pit lane, organising all the rules and regs, and then the technical side of the motorsport department. But under me, I had people like Campbell Little and some good guys. Campbell was, you know, meant to be in charge of the technical group, and then I sat over across the top of those two groups. So probably 14, 15 people, and really everything to do with the car and the sporting side of the rules during the event. None of the event logistics, you know, grandstands and all ticketing, all that stuff. But
did the parity issue drive you insane?
Yeah, completely. Absolutely, completely. Yeah, it was a bit of a shame to, you know, shame to come to that. It was a fairly hard sort of two and a half years in the design and build and testing phase of the cars anyway. But then it was a big achievement, I think, to roll out in Newcastle with 25 cars and not a single mechanical retirement. But then, you know, that's only part of the job. You know, the parity side was a huge thing. And if I'm totally honest, I think there was a difference in how the two homologation teams treated it and delivered the cars. Supercars were very much held back in what we could do in terms of effect changing the car and changing the homologation of the car. So we really were the ones left measuring the cars once we'd got them, not able to make the changes. Even if we had ideas what we wanted to do, that wasn't our remit. That the Ford Motor Company and DJR were responsible for that, and 888 GM for the Chevy. So yeah, it was a bit frustrating for everybody, for us supercars, for the fans, for the teams. But look, it's the sheer size of the program people underestimate. It's a huge program to design from basically the ground up. There are very few carryover parts from Gen 2 to Gen 3. It was a massive shift in our engine platform and a massive shift in the aero performance and platform of the car as well. So really, when you actually drum down into the detail and you look at the amount of people involved in actually delivering it, it was very few. And the resources, as normal with all of these things, in every category, you never, when you look back on it, you never have the resource that you should have had to undertake a project of this size.
So the recent wind tunnel testing, do you think it's evened things up and has got the result that you all wanted?
100% it has. I mean, look, we wanted to do that the first time around. It's not a new idea. We weren't asleep at the wheel. There was no budget to do that. And the budget that was given to everybody to build those two prototypes and then put it into manufacture, we would have loved to have gone and done that the first time around, and we should have done, but those funds weren't made available for that.
So you were the enemy, knowing that if you had got what you wanted, you had never been in that position?
No, if you'd had the right budget attributed to the program, you could have done it the first time around.
Where do you think the challenges still lie going forward for supercars in a world that doesn't like ICE engines?
Oh, look, I think ICE engines are always going to be part of motorsport. It's always going to be part of the fabric of whatever Joe Bloggs wants to drive on the road. You see a lot of manufacturers now turning back on some of their decisions to move away from ICE, and they all want to come back. And, Mercedes have just announced they're relaunching now ICE engines. They're not going fully electric as they said they wanted to a few years back. I think everyone understands why you want electric cars, but that doesn't really translate into the mass population.
Do you think supercars will ever get another manufacturer back, or does it have to maintain its integrity and legacy with the old Ford-Chevrolet battle?
The Ford-Chevy battle's, ingrained in what we all do, and we all hope that carries on for a long time, and I'm sure it will. But in terms of getting another manufacturer, I don't think we've ever been in as good a position to do that. The Gen 3 platform has delivered on many, many levels. Not all of them people talk about, but just constraining the amount of budget people spend, constraining the amount of R&D and development that goes into the cars once you get them, it's had a massive change to the teams. Engines have had a massive change to the teams. They're very, very close now, but what the teams are spending in engines now are probably a 15th, probably 15% or 20% of what they used to spend in Gen 2 era. So it's ticked a hell of a lot of boxes, and you now don't have to be the big team or the big two teams to be able to go and win races. I mean, look what Erebus did last year.
Well, you guys got a podium in Melbourne.
Yeah, but we got a podium in Melbourne. I mean, Matt Stone, Team 18, yeah, they won races last year for the first time. So it's delivered on many levels, and I do think that there will be interest from manufacturers going forwards.
Melbourne always creates a lot of hoo-ha. There's always drama because of the format, which is fantastic because it looks spectacular on telly. Where do you sit as a team principal on the give it a nudge, from a driver's perspective, and create, for all the right reasons, tighter and more, shall we say, personality racing?
Look, I think the racing at the Grand Prix was great. It always is. I mean, luckily this year, I think we got away. We didn't have too many big accidents. The Grand Prix normally ends up with a few cars being shoveled in the truck. We didn't really get that. I mean, Cam and Matt had one on Saturday. But the car was easily repaired, which was good. As a series, we want to have a balance between, the big 250K races and the 500 in Bathurst and the short sprint races. You can't do 250s every week. I think the format of the weekend was good. I think coming here to New Zealand, I think the format here will be good. It's a great facility. The track's going to provide some entertaining racing. I think it's going to be difficult for the teams to get their cars balanced right. There's a lot of different corner types here and surface.
Surface is going to be an issue, right?
Surface is going to be an issue for sure. Well, it won't be an issue. It's just going to present challenges. It's not an issue. It's the same for everybody. But it will. You'll have to have a very flexible approach to your setup than what you would do at, say, an AGP or somewhere.
But that's what needs to happen, right? There's so many teams that are always moaning about, this. Your approach is just shut up and take what's in front of you.
Get on with it. It's the same for everyone. We've all got the same thing. We've all got two arms, two legs, and we've hopefully all got the same amount of people working in the team. So, everyone's got the same crack.
You've got history with Team 18 and Charlie, but you've got two, I'm not going to use the word veteran because I think it's unfair to tell, you've got two very experienced drivers at the helm. How has that made your transition back more comfortable?
It's good. I mean, we're not here trying to teach the drivers how to drive. They know clearly what they've got to do. They've both been very successful in the past. Our immediate challenge at Team 18 is increasing the strength and depth in the engineering group, which was, we've attempted to do that in the break. We brought in Dr. Jeff Slater, who's been a great addition. Som Sharma, who's I've worked previously at Supercars, he's joined the team as a race engineer, and he's very green in race engineering, but he's an incredibly smart person, so he's picking it up very quickly. He's doing a fantastic job, and the team overall is doing a fantastic job. But all of us are competitive people. That's why you do it. You're never happy with a second or a fourth as the things to talk about from the Grand Prix. We want race wins, and we want to be challenging day in, day out. Now, are we going to do that straight away? We're not. You have to be realistic. But are we putting in the the tools and the facilities in place to allow our people to do that, then yeah, that's what we're attempting to do. So are we making progress? I think we are. We've had two solid weekends. I wouldn't say they're spectacular, but I'd say they were solid. We're up to third in the teams. Both drivers in the top 10 of the championship. So at this stage, I think we're going okay. Now, it's not going to be easy. You know, some of those teams that haven't delivered in the first two are going to get their house in order and be coming on strong. So the competition's hard, and that's how it should be. It shouldn't be easy.
Was it nice finally to get out of the suits, the so-called suit and tie brigade, and just put your sweaty back on and say, right, let's go racing and back into a team principal role?
Yeah, it was great. Loved it. I mean, I've had a fair bit of a success in the team land, and hopefully I can have some more again. It's good shouting at the TV, coming away, you know, setting your expectations or your, you know, your where you'd like to see you leave the weekend. It's good coming into a weekend knowing that it's a clean sheet of paper. Everyone can do a good job or a bad job and be able to gauge yourself on your results at Supercars. You never, you know, I really enjoyed my role at Supercars. I thought it suited me and my character and my experience and, you know, my standing in the pit lane. But you just get smashed there every day of the week. You know, you don't win, you don't lose. You never have all the teams happy all the time. It never happens like that. So it was a very tough job mentally in that regard. But here, coming here, just focusing on your 20 people, your two cars, two drivers, and being competitive, looking at the timesheets, you know, shouting at the TV, you know, getting into the drivers or the engineers if you've had a bad session, enjoying the moments when you do have a good result, you know, you're on the podium or something like that. So it's actually, yeah, it's nice being back in Teamland.